Been expositing through Philippians the last 7 messages. We're still in chapter 1. Last time we looked at the end of verse 18. Yes, and I will rejoice. We went down to the end of verse 20. Chapter 1, verse 19. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. And today, we're in verse 21. Paul says, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to die, to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus, because of my coming to you again. We're mainly going to look at verse 21 this morning. And this is the question of the sermon. Not just the question of the sermon, this is the question of your life. This is a question that every one of us has an answer for in the present. And I want today to fill in verse 21 for you. For to me, that's personal, right? For you, for all of us. For to me to live is. And just like on a report in school or a test, you have a line and it's blank. For to me to live is what? And to die is, you have another line. I want you to fill that in for yourself today. Throughout this message, think of that. How do I answer that in the present? Do I have the right answer? Why do I answer what I answer? For to me to live is, there's a question mark there. What goes there? And to die is, and you got another blank. All of us need answers to that question. All of us need something in each of those blanks. And what you put in the first blank will determine what's in the second. What you're living for is going to equal what your death will be in the end. So, what a verse. I mean, most of us have probably already heard this verse. Most of us have probably memorized this verse. Most of us have probably quoted this verse at different points in our Christian life. Paul is not quoting a verse here. He is creating a verse inspired by the Holy Spirit. And when's he doing it? He's doing it in prison. Paul thinking about death was not theoretical here. This brother was not far away from death. He was in prison. This is 30 years after Christ had died and resurrected and was seated at the right hand of the throne, which Christ is still there today. And here Paul is. He's charged with a crime of causing a violent uprising against the government. And he's in prison. And he's possibly going to face execution at this point in his life. And he's writing to this church of Philippi, who he loves so much. And he's writing to them to encourage them. So one thing to think about as we go through this, this verse here is encouraging. I mean, you read it, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. When I hear people say to death is gain and I see their confidence, that encourages me. I find great encouragement. And it's not arrogance. It's not like the sports guy going into the game and he says, we're going to win this one no matter what. It's not like Peter who says, I'll never deny you. And in pride, he ends up, he does go deny Christ. Paul here was being honest with something we all should have, a confidence we all need as Christians, that death is gain. So, first let's look at verse 21. It starts with the word for. For to me. And the word for connects it, obviously, to the previous verse, verse 20. And I know we looked at that some last time, but let's look at it again. Paul, he's expressing his desire in verse 20. He does not want to dishonor Christ. He doesn't want to be ashamed. But with full courage now, as always, he wants Christ to be honored. So he doesn't want to dishonor Christ. He wants to honor Christ in his physical body, in his life that he's given. And he says here, whether by life or by death. Now, when someone says to you, whether by life or death, you want to know why. Why not just by life, Paul? Why are you content even with death? Whether by life, whether by death, why not just life? Why death? Why, Paul? He says, for. Here my reason is. For, to me. Personally, for me. Doesn't matter what anyone else in the world is doing. For me personally, Paul's being emphatic here. For me to live is Christ. Okay, Paul. So if you don't die, you live, you get to keep living is Christ. Okay, I see why life, you're fine with life. What about death? For me to die is gain. Gain. Paul, why is death gain? He gives us an answer. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart. Why, Paul? Why? And be with Christ. For that is far, 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 far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So Paul, he says, whether by life or death, and he says, you know why by life? Because if I don't die and I get to live on as Christ. And if I do die, I get to go and be with Christ. What was Paul's focus as a Christian? On one thing, Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:2 says it very well. He said, I've determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul determined to know nothing except Christ. That was the motivating thing in his life. Not just his, but the Christian life. So this verse brings up serious questions for all of us, even the children. Every one of you children here, this is a question you need to ask. If you got a paper, you could even write it down. Write your name down. For me, William, to live is what? And to die is what? You could write it down on your notepad. And you've got two blanks there. What's going to be in each? What's your death going to be? What's your life all about? How shall I live? How am I living? What is the purpose of life? That verse brings up this question. What does my life reflect, I believe, the purpose of life is? What will happen when I die? You know, one thing we all need to be is men and women ready to die. I need to be ready to preach. The wife needs to be ready for the dinner time, for the meal. But the one thing you need to be ready for is death. The thing with death is interesting, though. We don't know when it's going to come. I have dinner at 6. We have a meeting that starts at 10. But death, I don't know when it's going to start. Hebrews says we all have an appointment. It's appointed for man once to die and then the judgment. So we all have an appointment. We don't know when it is. I'm not going to get a letter in the mail that says I've got a month left and then I have my appointment with death. Death is going to come when I least expect it. And so that's one reason for children. You've got to think about this because you do not know how long you're going to live. It's easy to think, I've got plenty of time. How many people die every day? It's estimated 150,000 people die every day. I mean, that's hard to get your mind around. I mean, the Alamo Dome is down the street. You drive by it. That's a big stadium. Imagine that stadium every day, seeing 50,000 people walk in. All of them die. At lunchtime, 50,000 more go in the Alamo Dome. All die. At dinner time, 50,000 more go in the Alamo Dome. All die. 150,000 die every day. Not that many in the city, but in the world. So it doesn't hit home as it should. What are people living for? You know, so many people have Facebook now. And one time after a guy died, I went and saw his Facebook. I saw the last things he posted about. And not just the last, I went and I looked back at the months and the months of his life leading up to his death. And you know what I could see in part? I could see what he was living for. Whatever that is in that blank, to die is what? What was his death? What was it in the end? David said in 1 Samuel 23, there is but a step between me and death. Kurt Daniel preached a sermon on that. He had a friend who had collected all these articles of strange ways people died. And you listen to the sermon and it was shocking. I mean, you had people mowing their lawn and a plane flew above that area in the country and a piece of metal fell off the plane and flew down at a high rate, hit the guy in the head and he died. You had people laying in their backyard and someone fired a bullet in the air at an angle from blocks away. It hit them in their chair and they died. I mean, death, it comes suddenly. David says, I've got a step between me and death. I may have one step left and that's it. So it's pretty important. For to me to live is what? And to die is what? We all need answers to that. Not later. We need it now. We need Paul's confidence now. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, some men hate death. Some are resigned to die. Some say we must have courage. But Paul, he was a man ready to die. He was ready. He was ready. I thought of my father-in-law. You know, my father-in-law was so ready to die, he had a funeral outline prepared. He had one prepared 10 years before he even died. He had outlined his funeral, who's going to carry the casket, what songs are going to be played at the funeral, who's going to preach. And then years later, when death was closer with cancer, he redid his outline. He was ready to die. Are you so ready to die, you could have an outline? Whereas one brother here, he asked for different songs. What song? I need to know of a song I can play at my funeral. Are you so ready to die, you're able to think about what songs you would want at your funeral? Not like you're wanting to escape. But you know, I get to be with Christ. Death is coming. I don't have to fear death. The sting's been removed. So, for you to live is what? And to die is what? Now, let's look at living and dying. The world's views on life. I went to Wikipedia, and they had a list, a long list of purposes people are living this life for. And some of you may have one of these purposes. And these things I'm about to read are not good things. Because it's not what Paul said. And one thing we need to realize about verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, there's actually only one right answer to that first section. There's only one. For to me to live is Christ. That's the only right answer. So, the world's views. To live is to chase and live one's dreams. To live is to spend it for something that will outlast it. To live is to matter, to count, to stand for something, to have made a difference that you lived at all. To live is to become the person you've always wanted to be. To live is to become the best version of yourself. To live is to seek happiness and flourish. To live is to be true, authentic human being. To live is to follow or submit to our destiny. To live is to live as long as possible, including the pursuit of immortality, to live forever or die trying. To live is to follow the clues and walk out the exit. To live is to learn as many things as possible in life. To live is to face our fears and accept the lessons life offers us. To live is to leave the world as a better place than you found it. I mean, how many people, that's their goal in life, right there, that one. Do your best to leave every situation better than you found it. To live is to benefit others. Am I seeking to benefit others? Yeah. But I would never say for me to live is to benefit others. For me to live is Christ, and Christ did seek to benefit others, to benefit them in their greatest area of need, their eternal soul and their sin. And that's what I'm living for. And that's why I will seek to help people, to benefit people. That's what we're doing as Christians. Some say, for me to live is to end suffering, to create equality. I tell you, Paul didn't come here to say, for me to live is to create equality. You've got a lot of people, all they're cared about is these issues that are not the root problem. My friend, all sin, no matter what it is, comes from a root. And you got to deal with that root issue. And that root issue is men are dead in their trespasses and sins. Men must be born again. Men need to be recreated by the power of God. Some men live to be honorable. I mean, that, you know, you growing up as a kid before I was a Christian, I would watch these war or these army things, and I would hear about these Marines and these Army Rangers who would go and die. And I would think, wow, what a noble thing. And I'm not saying that's not noble. They're willing to give their life for the country. But I'll tell you, if you put for me to live is to give my life for the country, to die is not gain. You've got to have for me to live is Christ. Then death is gain. Yes, give honor to honor. Or honor those whom it is due. But don't pat people on the back if Christ is not supreme in their life as they're headed to hell, living for something else. To live is to seek pleasure and avoid pain, and to die is gain. To live is to be moved by tears and pains of others and try to help them out. Yes, we are living and moved like Paul, wishing ourselves a curse for the sake of the lost. But we're doing that not because we're living to do that, because we're living for Christ. And as we live for Him, we do that. Some say to live is to rule the world. What did Jesus say? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? You rule the world, lose your soul, it profits you nothing. And Paul uses that word there, die is gain. We're thinking about gain. We're thinking about investment here. To live is 1 Corinthians 15. So for some, it's let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Larry King, I think he's 81, he's a well-known TV person. I just typed in on Google, purpose of life, and a video of him being interviewed. He said, the biggest thrill I get in my life is watching my kids play baseball. To die is loss. King was asked, what's life all about at the end of the day? His answer, the only thing I know is that I don't know. That's what King's answer was. The only thing I know is I don't know. Paul did not answer like that. You should not answer like that. If you're a Christian, it's not the only thing I know is I don't know. No, I do know. I do know what's going to happen when I die. The moment I die, whether today, whether 20 years, whether 20 hours, I know what's going to happen. It's appointed for me to die. And there's going to be a judgment. And I will stand blameless before the living God because of the perfect record of Jesus Christ on my account. And Christ shed His blood for me on the cross to remove God's wrath that was justly due to me because of my sins. I don't hope so. I don't think, well, maybe that's going to happen. Maybe I followed the clues right. Maybe it's all going to be true in the end. No, I know whom I've believed, and he is able to keep what he has promised to that day. That's what Paul has here, confidence. You know, we're kind of like the church at Philippi. Paul's the one in prison writing to us. I'm not in prison. I tell you, it'd be a lot different if this was a brother in prison right now, possibly facing execution, who wrote us this letter, or he was standing here before you today. Now, we don't have that privilege. But may it yet still hit home to us. So all that list, every one of those things, for me to live for equality, to die is eternal loss. You could fill it in. So children, if you put on your paper, for me to live is sports, for me to live is to get out of this building as quick as I can and go play the games I want to do. If you put that, Paul says to die is loss. Eternal loss. It's one thing to lose your piggy bank. It's one thing to lose $5. It's another thing to lose your soul. You can't trade anything for it. And we think, well, I have time. No. This day our souls may be required of us. So if to live as Christ is the only right answer, then you know what? We better know what it means to live as Christ. I mean, we've got to know, what does that mean? Because I may say to live as Christ, but just saying to live as Christ doesn't mean I truly am. I can say that because it's the right answer. One test to whether it's real or not is, can you say to die is gain? There's a lot of people growing up in the church like I did, and I would think to death is not gain. I did not want to die. I viewed heaven as something boring. I would say, well, yeah, I believe in Christ, but death was not gain. For the Christian, death is gain. For the true Christian. So what does it mean to live as Christ? We see that here. For to me to live is Christ. Again, for to your name to live is what? What is it? We all have an answer, whether we'll admit it or not. We know what we're living for. Now, Paul, he doesn't just say this statement here. Paul had a life that this statement was true. Paul was saying to live as Christ, and he was actually living as Christ. So what's one of the best places we can look to see what it means to live as Christ? We can look at Paul's very life. And in his life, we're going to see partly what this means to live as Christ. You think about Acts 20, 24. Paul said there, he said, I do not account my life. You hear that word, life? I do not account my life of any value, nor is it precious to myself. If only one thing happens, this gives my life value. If only I may complete the course, the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So we look at Paul's life. He had a passion for one thing, to live as Christ. It looked like living out the ministry Christ had given him and preaching the gospel. He says, if my life is of any value, if only one thing happens, I live for Christ. Acts 20, 24. The verse right before our text here. Look at verse 20. Paul here was living as Christ. What does that look like? Verse 20. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed. I mean, that's the Christian's desire. I don't want to at all dishonor Christ. But that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. And why is that so? Because for to me, Paul, to live is Christ. You see? What's your greatest longing in your life? What's the thing that moves you? Is it that you honor Christ? Not that you perfectly honor Him, none of us do, but that when you dishonor Him, you are grieved. Lord, I can't believe I dishonored you in that thing. Do you want full courage? I mean, one thing I want more as a Christian, I want more courage, because I see Christ is so worth everything that it breaks my heart the times I lack courage, the times I fear man who can kill the body, and don't fear God who can kill both the body and soul in hell. So to live as Christ, it means Christ is the cause of how I conduct my life. His will, everything I do. You could say, for to live as Christ is the reason for everything you're doing. You're seeking to do it because it's pleasing to Christ. Paul said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Paul lived a life doing what? Imitating Christ. So you look at Christ, then you look at Paul. All Paul's trying to do is be more like Christ. Christ perfectly honored his Father in his body, whether by life or by death. He never dishonored his Father. And Paul comes along and he's wanting to honor Christ, whether by life or by death. So to live as Christ is to live as Christ did. Look at Philippians 2, maybe on the same page there. Verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Why? Have this mind. Okay, what mind? Among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus, who though he, Christ, was in the form of God, he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. You hear that? To live as Christ is to take the form of a servant. It's to serve others. It's no longer to live for yourself. Paul says that in 2 Corinthians 5, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but live for him who for their sake died and was raised again. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, a very similar verse, he says, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. You see Paul's desire there? He's saying to die is gain. I'd rather be at home with the Lord than in this earthly tent on this battlefield. I'd rather be at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home, dead with Christ, or alive with Christ, dead on earth and alive with him, or away from home, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:9, we make it our aim to please him. To live as Christ is to live with a life where your aim is to please Christ. What's man's big problem? Their aim in life so often is to please themselves. Does this please me, what I'm about to do? Am I doing this because it pleases me? Or does this please Christ? Is the ultimate reason I'm eating and drinking this food for the glory of God, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:31? So, to live as Christ is to live as he did, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, it's that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. To live as Christ should mean the onlooking world can look at us, and in part, obviously not fully, in part, they see us imitating Christ in such a way where they look at you, and in a way there's this reflection pointing them to Christ. Just like the Bible says husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. So the world looks at me and they see me loving my wife, and it's like something there is pointing to the gospel. Something there is pointing us to Jesus Christ. If someone looks at my life for a long period of time, not just 1 hour, weeks, months, and there's nothing reflecting Christ, there's nothing reflecting me, imitating him, thinking like him, being a servant like him, then am I really living to Christ? So Paul said he'd rather be away at home with the Lord. To live as Christ is to remain to be with you all. Why do I say that? The text. Look at verse 22, Philippians 1. What does it mean to live as Christ, Paul? For me to live as Christ, to die is gain, if I am to live. Okay, so what will Paul do if he goes on living? Which he does. He doesn't die at this point in his life. He writes this letter, he lives on and dies later. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Okay, so to live as Christ, there's something there, fruitful labor. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. Verse 23, I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that's far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Verse 25, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all. You see that there? With you all. For your progress and joy in the faith. So, to live is Christ. It's to remain to be with you all. Point there is this. The Christian life is not about yourself. Why am I even still alive? Why did Paul keep on living? It was not for self. He lived to go on and have fruitful labor, to do the good works that God had prepared beforehand that he should walk in them. But what does that really look like? Living life in a local body of believers, as he says right there. So to live is Christ, is to be with you all, to continue with you all, as verse 25 says. And my point here is this. If someone says, my life is living for Christ, and they're living in isolation, they're living outside of the local church, they don't want to be around the brethren. What did Tim point out in the 1 John series? By this you know you've passed from death to life, that you love the brethren. And Paul remained to continue with the local body of believers. He remained to continue for their joy, for their faith. Point is, to live as Christ, I'm not here to live for myself. This is not all about me. It's not all about you. It's about becoming a servant, because that's what Christ did. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And he gave his life as a ransom for many. What greater service than that? So, in my life, does it even cross my mind that I'm living right now for others' progress and joy in the faith? I'm living right now, as verse 24 says, to be necessary on your account. Something to think about. That's part of what living for Christ is. So, to live is Christ, is to long to be with Christ in the present. One of the greatest ways you can fill in your question today, if you're really living for Christ, is that in your heart, there is a desire to be with Christ in the present. So we see that in verse 23. Here a man is who's living as Christ lived. He's living for Christ. He's living by the strength of Christ. And he says here, verse 23, I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is. This is the present desire to depart and be with Christ. And isn't that true? If you're a Christian, don't you find in the present, even today, there's this desire to be with Christ, to know more of Jesus Christ. More intimacy, more knowledge of Christ. This is eternal life, that they may intimately know me, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom I have sent. So to live as Christ is to intimately know Christ now, and it's longing to know him more, to go and be at home, to get out of this tent, to pack up, which is what the word depart there means. To depart and be with Christ means to pack up my tent, this earthly dwelling, and to go on to heaven's coast, to be with Christ. Paul says later on, for this end we toil and strive, 1 Timothy 4, because we have our hope set on the living God. What end is a Christian, a professing Christian, are you toiling and striving this week? Is it because your hope is set on the living God? Is it because you desire to honor Christ in your body, whether by life or by death? Then your living is for Christ, if that's the truth. Hebrews 9 says He's going to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him. The true Christian, they're eagerly waiting for the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1, He's going to come on that day to be glorified in His saints and to be marveled at among all who believe. You want to know if you live for Christ? Do you marvel at Christ? Do you marvel at what Christ has done? Paul really did do that. He said in Galatians 6, he said, God forbid that I boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world's been crucified to me and I to the world. So those are to live as Christ. For me, to live as Christ is to seek to live as Christ lived, to become a servant, to not live for myself, to live out Philippians 2, 3, to have this mind that Christ had. To live as Christ is to imitate Paul as he imitated Christ, to imitate the writer of Hebrews who said, lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely and run with endurance, looking to who? Jesus, the founder and perfecter. So, to live as Christ. To live as Christ is the only life in which to die is gain. Now, the subtle thing that happens is what? People, they add something to the question. They put, for me to live is Christ. You know what they do? They add a comma and they put plus. This, plus this, plus this, plus this. Guess what? If you do that, you get the equation of death not being gain. For me to live, to do for Christ, and to do mighty works, to have a big ministry, all about that, to die is not gain. For me to live is to go to church, be religious, to die is not gain. For to me to wait to live is Christ, and to die is not gain. For me to profess faith to gain man's praise and approval, to die is not gain. You may gain something now, but who cares what you get now? What matters is what's going to happen on that final day. For me to live as a tolerant, moral person who professes to be a Christian, to die is not gain. For me to live for my spouse and to die is not gain. For me to live for my children and to die is not gain. And again, the word balance comes in. We need a balancing. Yes, I'm seeking to love my wife as Christ loved the church, but I'll tell you this, God forbid any of us ever put in our question, for me to live is for my spouse. That's idolatry. You're not living for your spouse. You're not living for your children. You're living for Christ. And as you live for Christ, you will be the best parent you can be. You will be the best husband you can be by His power. But the goal in your life is not to live for those things. The goal is not to live for my job, live for money, live for my career. It's to live as Christ. I want to live as Christ lived. I want to reflect Christ. He's my desire. He's my goal. Whether I die or I live, whether I have a wife or I don't have a wife, whether I have kids or I don't have kids, whether I do this or I do that or all these things, it does not matter, Paul's saying. He's saying, I got one desire to honor Christ. No matter what I do with my life, I'm not living for any of those other things. For me to live is Christ. He's the thing. He's the one right there in my sights. Warren Wiersbe said, for me to live is money and to die is to leave it all behind. For me to live is fame and to die is to be forgotten. For me to live is power and to die is to lose it all. I mean, it's amazing just looking at the news sometimes. I mean, you see men, and I've brought them up before, but you see men like Steve Jobs, who most people know his name. And he died. He had, you know, billions of dollars to his name. And they could say, well, you Christians are being mean. No, we're being honest. Steve Jobs, he didn't even gain 5% of the world, and he lost his soul as some sort of Buddhist. He lived his life for all those things, and his death in the end was eternal loss. It's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, Christ said. So, some would say, for me to live life, you know, it's about getting in no one's way, minding my own business, tolerating everyone. If that's true, to die is not gain. The Christian, they got to go. We got to reach the lost. We don't just sit here and say, I don't want to offend anyone. Jesus said, blessed are those who are not offended by me, implying people are going to be offended by the Christian. So, no one leaves this question blank. You have got to answer it. You have got to be honest with yourself and fill in the blank. For to me to live is what? I mean, you've got to have something there. And to die is what? And as I said, everyone would put, you know what? Yeah, I want to die, my death to be gain. It doesn't matter if you want to put gain there. If you don't put Christ in the first slot, every other equation equals eternal loss. Every. Is that very exclusive? It is. And Jesus Christ is very exclusive. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus, or here something is. People will say this to this verse. Well, that's just for Paul. He was an apostle. It was just for Paul. That's not for us. Just for Paul. Whew, we don't have to worry about saying that. I don't have to say for me to live in Christ. It's just for Paul. Say, that's not what we find in the Word of God. Jesus looks at you and He says in Luke 14, if you do not renounce all that you have, you cannot be my disciple. Jesus looks at Luke 17 and He says, you remember that woman, Lot's wife, who looked back and turned into a pillar of salt and went to hell? You remember her? If you seek to save your life, you will lose your life. But if you lose your life for Christ's sake and the Gospels, you will find your life. The only people who've truly found their life are the ones who have lost it and can say with Paul, for me to live now is Christ. And that's the only person who will have the equation say, and to die is gain. Christ says, why? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? The true Christian can say with Paul in Philippians 3:12, not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider I've made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's the Christian. I want to die more to myself. I want to be more like Christ. That's living as Christ. You look at Christ, you look at yourself, and it's like, I want to be more like that. And then it's like, Lord, make me more like that. Make me more like Christ. Help me in these areas where I'm not like Christ. The Christian is not content. If you're content how you are, you're just fine, everything in life seems to be going okay, you don't want to be more like Christ, you just have everything in order, Christ is not the consuming passion of why you do what you do, I'll tell you, to live for you is not to live as Christ. So, is this just for Paul? No. This is the type of statement a true Christian should be able to say. For me to live is Christ. And think about Paul. Who lived in Paul? What did Paul say in Galatians 2:20? It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So who lived in Paul? Christ. Who lives in me? Christ. Who has the guarantee of the Holy Spirit? Paul had the Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit. So when I look at Paul, yes, he's in a different package. He had different gifts. He had different purposes and ministries that God gave him. Same with me, same with all of us. We're not all going to be out there preaching like Paul. But whether you're taking care of your children at home, whether you're a breadwinner just working a job and providing for missions your whole life, guess what? You'll be able to say, "For me to live is Christ. In obeying my earthly masters as if though they were Christ, that is living for Christ. That is living as Christ would have lived." So, Paul had Christ. I have Christ. It's no longer I who live. It's no longer you who live. If you're saved, it's Christ who lives in you. Does my life give evidence of that type of life? Do I desire to depart and be with Christ? Do I live to be with you all for your progress? Okay, let's think about death for a moment. Death. Paul says here, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, at which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart, to die, and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary." Let's stop right there. So, death. Death can seem like a loss, can't it? No more time to tell others about Christ. No more time with family. And I was telling my wife the other day, it would be easier for me to die for my own self. I could be in glory and Bethany would be left with our daughter. And for her, it'd be easier for her to die. I mean, death, when my father-in-law was dying, it just hit us. When Bob Jennings died, the loss was all ours. He didn't lose anything. He had the greatest gain. The people who lost were us. And that's how it is. You don't look at the dead person who's a Christian and say they lost. They didn't lose anything. Yes, they lost some time, but obviously they didn't because God had an appointment for them to die. They had fulfilled the works that had been given beforehand that they should walk in them. So death can seem like a loss. How can Paul view death as gain? I mean, again, what he gives a reason why death is gain. My desire is to depart. Why? Why do you want to die? Why, Paul? Why do you want to die, brother and sister, person visiting today? Why do you want to die if you do want to die? Or when you do die, what's the reason? What makes heaven heaven? What makes eternal life eternal life? What's it all about? Your relatives? No. It's all about Christ. Paul says that here. For me to live and to die is gain. Why? Because my desire is to depart and be with Christ. To have more of Christ, to be with Christ, to see Christ face to face. You know, Paul's not saying here the act of dying itself is gain. I mean, how you die, the issue is where you're going after you die. To depart and be with Christ. And death is to depart. As I mentioned, that word depart there, the commentators will point out it means two things in a way. One of the things it means is you're pulling up the anchor on your ship and you're setting sail to heaven. And the other way, it looks like you're just packing up your tent. You know, here we're camping. We're pilgrims and strangers and exiles on this world. And we just pack up our tent and we go. We go home. I want to go home. I do want to remain, though. I want to preach the gospel more. I want to reach more people. I want to serve my family. I want to be here for them. But my greatest thing that I would have is to be with Christ. That's what Paul's saying. We should say that. You know, saying that is not this thing of, you know, this morbid idea. People could take it like that. Like Paul's just wanting to die all the time. Like some people in the Old Testament who were just, they wanted to die. You know, I just can't take it anymore. This burden is too much. You know, Paul even felt like that in 2 Corinthians 1. He said he felt like he despaired of life itself. He said, "I feel like I've received a sentence of death." Paul said that, 2 Corinthians 1. But he said it was so I no longer rely on myself, but rely on God. who raises the dead. And He delivered us and He will deliver us. And ultimately He's going to deliver us to glory. Think about it. What's your ultimate citizenship? In heaven. My citizenship is in heaven. Do you look at it like that? Or do you have more stock in your American citizenship or whatever citizenship you have? Do you have more stock in an earthly home? Do you have more things weighed down on the earth? Or are you storing up treasure in heaven that's not going to get destroyed by moths, that won't be broken into by thieves and stolen? You know, years ago, Craig did a video dealing with the death of Michael Jackson. And in it, he mentioned something about Tom Brady. Tom Brady, quarterback in professional football league, he had won 3 Super Bowl rings at that point. And in the clip, Craig mentioned Tom Brady, he's sitting with the interviewer, and he says to the interviewer, he says, "There's got to be something greater than this." I think he used God's name in vain at some point in that. But he said, "There's got to be something greater than this. There's got to be something greater than this." And now, I think years later, he just won another Super Bowl. And guess what? You know what Tom Brady will be saying till the day he dies? He'll be asking that same question. There's got to be something greater than this. There's got to be something greater than 4 Super Bowls, than money, than fame. Because this does not satisfy. I do not have joy unspeakable. What is my purpose? Paul, he was living for Christ, to die is gain. For men like that, if they're living for those things, to die is loss. It's loss. It's sad. We're going to inherit the kingdom that's prepared. Or as the writer of Hebrews said, we've acknowledged that we're strangers and exiles on the earth. Have you acknowledged that? Have you acknowledged that you're a stranger and an exile? You know, we can look at these groups like ISIS, and they're over there burning their passports, and they're determined, we're going to stay here, we're going to die, we're never going back to those countries. Well, there's a grain of salt in that thing. We're exiles. We're never going to come back to this country once we die. Our hope is in heaven. We're looking to Him. Do you desire a better country? Paul wasn't wanting to depart to escape suffering. That's important to realize. Paul was not wanting to depart to escape suffering. How do we know that? He says clearly here, he's willing to remain for progress of Christians. What makes heaven heaven? Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 says, Christ will bring us into His presence. Okay, His presence. What's Psalm 16 say is in His presence? Fullness of joy and pleasure forevermore. Paul didn't say right here, he says, for me to die is gain. You know what he didn't say? He didn't say to die is easy. He didn't say to die is easy. He said it's gain. You think about some of the things you invest your life in, it's some of the hardest stuff you do, but it gets the greatest gain. And Jesus said about the Christian life, the way is hard that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Is it hard? Could I die in a hard, brutal way? I could. But guess what? To die is gain. Second Corinthians, Paul said there, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. We're afflicted in every way, not crushed. Perplexed, not driven to despair. Persecuted, not forsaken. Struck down, stoned, you could say, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. So we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal body. So death is at work in us, but life in you. You know, Paul says right here, 2 Philippians 2:27. Look at this. If Epaphroditus dies, Paul says, indeed he was ill, near to death. God had mercy on him, not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. To die is not easy. If my wife dies, that's not easy. There's going to be sorrow. Guess what? For her to die is gain. Not easy. There's sorrow. Yet, as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, we don't grieve as others do who have no hope. And one of the saddest things is when someone dies who has no hope. I mean, you grieve because they're going to be in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. They're never getting out. They live this whole life determining, for me to live is self, for me to live is to not submit to the reign of Jesus Christ. And for them, it is eternal loss. It is eternal damnation and hell. If you live for the King, we'll make the King's enemies your enemies. We're in a fight. The devil wants us to fall, yet the King's given us help. So in closing, can you say to die is gain? If not, what will you do about such an important question? I'm not saying you're saying, I want to die right now. Or, no, there's a sense of, you know what? If I die, it is gain. When I think about death, when I think about if I die in my sleep, I die in a car wreck on the way home, or like I mentioned at the start of the sermon, I die in my backyard because a bullet's fired from another house and it hits me and I'm dead. If that happens, do I look at that as gain? The only people who do, who can truly look at it as gain, because many will say, I'm living for such and such as gain. The only people are those who can say, for me to live is Christ. And if you can't say to die is gain, there's one thing you need to do. You need to determine, I need to surrender to Christ. I need to live for Christ. I need to obey Christ. I need to obey Christ like we see Paul doing in Philippians 3. He said, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss. You want death to be gain? Take all the gain you have, all your religious works, all the things in this world, and count it as loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ and being found in Christ, not because of your good works, not because of something you've done, but found in Him, trusting His work alone is your only hope, realizing the only thing that gives me confidence that I'm going to be standing blameless on Judgment Day is His record of perfection. His 100 on the paper is on my paper, and my 0, my F on my paper is on His. And He suffered my consequences for my F, my flunking grade. And those consequences were death on a cross, and He spilled His blood. He gave His life as a ransom for many. So if you can't say to die is gain, you need to see Christ as gain. You need to see that whatever you gain in this life is worth done compared to having Christ. It's not worth anything. It feels like it in the moment. You think these things are all good. I mean, there was one woman at Charles Leiter's church years ago. For her to live was to be a missionary, and to die was loss. She was not a Christian, and the thing keeping her from Christ was a desire to be a missionary. She didn't want to surrender to Christ because Christ may say you can't be a missionary. For her to die was loss. You can give your body to be burned, and it can be worthless. You know, children, please, please hear me. I used to be a kid, and I would sit in the back of a church and try to sleep. And I understand that. I understand a lot of these things may not make sense. I understand, or maybe they do make sense if you're listening, but you don't want to hear because it confronts your sin. But children, think about it. Can you say, for me to depart and be with Christ is better? I mean, as a kid, you know what I wanted to do on Sunday morning? I wanted to depart from that church and get out of there as soon as I could. Because there were other things out there, like my video games, that were gain. That's what I was living for. It doesn't matter if you're 6, 16, 26. Those things are not worth it. And you know the example you should look at to see what's worth it is this man, Paul. You want to be a man. You want to be a child even who's sitting in prison, maybe going to face execution. And you can say with Paul, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The one thing you want to be ready to do is die. You want to be ready to die. A couple quick applications for the Christian. Where do I find the power to live this life for Christ? Well, obviously the greatest answer is Christ lives in us. I mean, we need the Lord. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But again, the last sermon, we looked at these two means. Look at verse 19. Paul is going to go on rejoicing whether he dies or lives. Verse 19 says, "For I know through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Those are two things we need. We need to be praying for more of the Holy Spirit in order to live as Christ. And we need others to be praying for us that we might live as Christ. It's impossible, the Christian life, and our own power. It's impossible. Application for the Christian. Having the end being settled allows you to live in the present as you should. You hear that? Having the end, death being gain, allows you to live in the present as you should. If you don't have the end settled, that death is gain, that'll affect your whole life. How am I going to go to the... How are we going to see God raise up two families or three to go to Erbil, Iraq as missionaries unless they have it settled to die as gain? And if you're unsettled with, I don't know if death is gain, you're not going to go there. You're not going to go do something like that because it's dangerous to go over there. Those who God uses in missions, they're those who've already died, they've already lost their life, they're hidden with Christ. They realize to die is gain. They have it settled. They're like Paul. I'm not ashamed. I know whom I believed. I'm convinced. He's able to guard until that day what he's entrusted to me. I'm not going to waver from the truth. I'm not going to waver in the ministry. God's going to keep me. Paul said, we're dying, and yet behold, we live. The world looks at us dying, and yet we're actually living. When you look at a Christian being martyred, you read those old books and you see a Christian being burned at the stake, the world says, he's dying. The Bible says, behold, he's living. He's the one really living because he's living as Christ and he's doing that and and dying for what he believes in. Don't fear death. We need to be delivered from the fear of death. What did Paul say? What happened to that sting of death? Got removed. You know, I'm afraid of a bee, so to speak, if it has a stinger in it. But if the stinger gets removed, that bee can land on me. And I don't know a lot about bees. Maybe they still have some way to sting. But point is, it could land on me and I can't get stung. Guess what? For the Christian, death is flying around out there. One day, death is going to land on me. But guess what happened to the stinger? It's gone. It's gone. I'm just going to die. Death is small for the Christian. Death is small. What does he say right here? He said, whether by life or death. I mean, how many of you go to a restaurant and they ask you, you want ketchup on your food? It's like, whether ketchup or no ketchup, it doesn't matter to me. I'm fine with either. I'd like ketchup. It's more necessary. That's how small Paul makes death. Look at that. End of verse 21. Whether by life or by death. Whether I get ketchup or not, whether I die or live, it's not that big of a deal. We need to see death as that. It's small for the Christian. Yes, we're of good courage, Paul says. We would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Count Zinzendorf said this. He was part of the Moravians. He said, I have one passion. It is he and he alone. Charles Spurgeon said, it is not death to die if the death of Christ be but the life of the soul. Bob Jennings said, the most important thing in life is to be ready for death. So ready to die that when it comes time to die, all you have to do is die. And I saw my father-in-law die. We were sitting in that room as he breathed his last breath. We were with him the last 2 months of his life. And honestly, watching him die, it's totally true. All he had to do was die. It wasn't that complicated. He just died. He breathed his last breath. That was it. It wasn't even that intimidating. The most intimidating thing was suffering and the physical things. But once he died, you knew it was gain. You sat there and cried. He was gone. But he lived as Christ. Therefore, to die is gain. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help us to live as Christ. To live as Christ lived. To have the mind of Christ. To approve what is excellent as Christ did. To imitate Paul as he imitates you. To count everything as loss but you. To not account our lives of any value. Lord, I pray you would remove us. Remove the fear of death from us. Help us to have it settled. To die as gain. Lord, we can be unsettled about how we might die. This or that, will it be quick, will it be long? But Lord, we're thankful to die is gain. Though it's not easy, though there's sorrow, it's gain. Thank you for that. Thank you for the confidence Paul had. Lord, help us. Amen.